Today, my dear faithful, is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption, into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now, when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus said to him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The Lord is my refuge and my deliverer. My God is my helper, and in him will I put my trust. Praising, I will call upon the Lord, and I shall be saved from my enemies. Words taken from Psalm 17. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Looking at the news, my dear faithful, it seems that the Middle East is at constant war. And if you look through history, it seems that that has always been the case. In the first centuries after Christ, it was the Roman Empire battling with the Persian kingdom for supremacy in the East. With the constant give and take, these two empires often fought for the same places again and again in the East. One city in particular was the city of Nisibis. Nisibis would be in present-day Syria. But back in the first centuries after Christ, this city lay right on the border of these two warring empires. And thus, the city had been conquered and reconquered again and again. Now, it is important to know that in the fourth century, the Roman Empire passed the Edict of Milan, which ended the Roman persecution of the Catholic Church. The Catholic faith was finally free in the Roman Empire. The Persian Empire, on the other hand, persecuted Catholics and forced them to join the pagan state religion. St. James, the bishop of Nisibis in the 4th century, encouraged his people, therefore, to defend their city against the Persians, because he desired above all else to save them from persecution. For that reason, St. James had his people prepare. They dug wells, built up supplies of food, and refortified the city walls. And St. James truly did well in this, for Sapor II, the ruler of Persia at the time, arrived in the year 350 with his entire Persian army to finally crush the city of Nisibis. Sapor's enormous army covered the valley surrounding the city, and he cut off the city's river, hoping to starve out the defenders and prevent any supplies from getting in. For the next 3 months, the Persians mercilessly besieged Nisibis, and after some incredible battles, Sapor's army finally managed to make an opening in the city's walls. Though the Persians couldn't attack immediately, this opening gave the Persian army a way in. All he needed was to wait for the morning light to finally crush the city of Nisibis and slaughter its Catholic people. And so that night, St. James the bishop ascended what remained of his city's walls. He looked on the breach in the walls, and then he looked on his people, half starved and completely exhausted. For almost 3 months, they had been surviving on rations, fighting day and night. Many had died, and now there were too few to defend the city. St. James knew that his people could not hold out under another attack. He knew that their situation was, humanly speaking, hopeless. And so the bishop looked to the heavens and prayed for help for his people. He begged God for deliverance from the Persians. And that next morning, deliverance came. God sent an army to defend Nisibis, an army that Sapor, even with his entire Persian army, could not withstand. For that next morning, millions upon millions of gnats attacked Sapor's army. These little bugs attacked eyes, nose, ears of both man and beast of the Persians. Sapor's army was driven insane by this unforeseen onslaught, and so they fled from the city, blind, deaf, and suffocating from these little bugs. In their frantic retreat, the Persians even crushed one another as they fled. Thus, after a 3 month siege, the Persians were utterly defeated, and the Catholic city of Nisibis was delivered once again. I tell you this story, my dear faithful, because we may at times feel like we are in a similar situation as the people of Nisibis. Our modern world is just so thoroughly anti-Catholic, with immorality pervading the media, entertainment, and law, that we are simply besieged like the people of Nisibis. And yet, like those people, we should have such a persevering hope for the future. The people of Nisibis fought on for 3 months against a gigantic army, which in human terms would be hopeless. But nevertheless, they fought because they had confidence in God. We too should have this same confidence, as that is what God teaches us through the Church's liturgy. In the past 3 weeks, the Church has held up three great truths that should give us this confidence in God. First, on Trinity Sunday, the Church held up to us the truth of the Blessed Trinity, the truth that the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, are the one infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God. The next week, by the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Church tells us that this same infinite God dwells amongst us. He is really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament in our tabernacles. And the reason God dwells with us, as the Church teaches us by the Feast of the Sacred Heart, is the infinite love God has for man. The burning love of the Sacred Heart is what compelled God to become man in the first place. That same love urged him to suffer such a terrible death as crucifixion to save us, and then to dwell with us in the Blessed Sacrament. What confidence, then, we should have in our God, my dear faithful. We have an infinite God, infinitely powerful, who humbled himself so much as to dwell with us, to show and prove his infinite love for each of us. What have we then to fear? Like King David, who prayed in the Psalms, "My God is my helper, and in him will I put my trust. Praising, I will call upon the Lord, and I will be saved from my enemies." And this trust in God, my dear faithful, is absolutely necessary, for by it we give God his just due. We owe God trust, for we are each his children. And like children, we should run in our knees to our Father for his help. At one time, St. Margaret Mary made a request of our Lord. And our Lord answered her request with this question: "Dost thou believe that I can do these things?" Our Lord already knew the answer, of course, and so he didn't wait for one, but immediately said, "For if thou dost believe, thou shalt see the power of my heart in the magnificence of my love." In other words, if we trust in God, we too shall see his infinite power, helping us in the infinite magnificence that is the love of the Sacred Heart for us. Confidence is what made the saints saints, what kept them calm in the midst of the storms of their lives. And they had many storms. And this confidence is what made them able to persevere through all their trials. Without confidence, a person cannot have peace, because anxiety will make him easy prey for the temptation. As St. Francis de Sales explains it, anxiety or worry is caused when we suffer something that we cannot free ourselves from. What St. Francis was saying is that when we have some cross to carry, we naturally try to get rid of it. However, if a person looks to rid himself of the cross and finds that he cannot escape it, the natural reaction then is to grow anxious. The soul wears itself out, groaning under the weight of this cross and flailing about for some way out. Still finding no escape, the mind will wear itself out, and that cross will seem to grow only heavier and heavier. Burdened and exhausted like this, a soul falls easy prey to the devil and temptation. For this reason, St. Francis de Sales calls anxiety the greatest evil that can happen to a soul, with a single exception of sin. Sin is the greatest evil, as it is an offense against the infinite God. Anxiety is then the second greatest evil, because it so readily leads to sin. If a person then, having some suffering or temptation, turns to God instead of flailing for escape, then waits patiently for God to help him bear it and then remove the cross, only then the soul has peace. Such a trusting soul can continue under even the greatest sufferings with a peaceful heart, because he knows God, in his infinite love, allows this suffering only for his greater good. And God will remove this cross when it is no longer needed for the good of the soul. Of course, this does not mean that we do nothing. While trusting in God, we pray, we work, we struggle to live our lives for God. We must do our part by following the grace given us, working to live our lives well. This means, quite simply, avoiding sin and practicing virtue. And today, when we are surrounded by so much sin and temptation, the struggle to live virtuously has become even more difficult. That is why, to help us in this struggle, we need more than ever childlike trust in God. This is all important, because if we rely on ourselves, we cannot succeed. If we rely only on ourselves, we will fall. We will fail. But if we perseveringly rely on God, we cannot fail. Of ourselves, we cannot remain in the state of grace. And yet, if we ask for and follow the grace of God, there is no power that can steal sanctifying grace from us. Even when it seems like we are surrounded, as the people of Nisibis were by the Persians, when it seems the walls protecting us have crumbled and the devil's army is ready to pour in and overwhelm us, when everything looks absolutely hopeless, if we pray to God for grace, the love of the Most Sacred Heart cannot help but come to our aid with all of his infinite power. For when we pray, God hears his little child calling to his father. And so, my dear faithful, if our world tempts you to be anxious, whether for our country, for our loved ones, or for ourselves, I urge you to turn to God with all confidence. Turn to him as did St. James of Nisibis. Look to heaven and pray, remembering God's almighty hands hold the balance of the entire universe in place. His Most Sacred Heart burns with love for you, for your loved ones, and for the people of our country. Banish worry from your hearts and pray to God for deliverance. God will answer your prayer, though it may not be right away or even in a way that you expect. God will give you the grace to persevere, even amidst such a world as ours, if only you place your concerns in the heart of our divine Savior. One day, my dear faithful, if we have confidence and do our part, we will behold the victory of the Sacred Heart. Satan and his army will be crushed. Our Lord will establish his rightful reign over this entire world. And it may be at the most unexpected time, in the most unexpected way. Do not let yourself grow anxious, my dear faithful, but trust in our divine Savior, and your prayers will be answered. You will, as our Lord promised Saint Margaret Mary, you will see the power of his most sacred heart in the magnificence of his divine love for you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.